Welcome again to Dratton Drake, the Veterinary Podcast. I know it's been a while. I actually wanted to start up this episode here and introduce, really, I think we can consider ourselves friends and old colleagues at this point. This is Dr. Luis Cruz. He actually was my professor at Ross Veterinary School. The way we actually connected was in vet school, I actually started a public speaking class. And when I spoke with Leslie Broadbelt, she was one of the administrators, she very enthusiastically recommended that I speak with a Dr. Cruz about public speaking and being the advisory of this club, just because he was known immediately as a new professor there as such a passionate public speaker. And I remember all the times that you've had your iPad and your incredible animations with your presentations. And so we very quickly and immediately bonded over our love for public speaking and that passion for sharing knowledge to the public. So again, without further ado, I'd love to introduce everyone to Dr. Luis Cruz.
Thank you, Dr. Tam. I really appreciate it. First of all, it's great to connect with you. Now, seeing you all formal with family as a vet, you have your own software business for the vet community. And I still remember you were wearing flip-flops and shorts.
I'm still doing that. That's still my everyday outfit. No, absolutely. So
this is a real honor for me. I'm extremely grateful. And I have to be very honest, very authentic, is that I've always wanted to be invited to a podcast. So whenever you mentioned the idea, inside I was like, yeah. And the outside I was like, oh, that is a great idea. Yeah.
You played it off pretty cool. Yeah, definitely. You kind of made me work for it a little bit, huh?
A little bit of very quickly on my journey. Yeah. It's a long story. I'll make it very short.
Okay.
When I was in vet school, I had no idea what I wanted to do. Literally, that's why I can relate a lot with my vet student clients when they say, I'm not exactly sure if I do small animal, large animals. Like, I absolutely had no idea what I wanted to do. And it was really towards the end of my time as a student that the word wildlife vet started to pop up. And I got so excited. And I started looking for possibilities. The only thing that appeared was working with birds of prey in Minnesota, the Raptor Center. And at the moment, I knew squat about birds.
Yeah, I very much stay away from exotic medicine, for sure, even now.
And then long and behold, when did 1 year internship, and that extended for 5 more years. Went in to do a clinical residency, also get to do a master's project, then moved on into a PhD project, and always on wildlife birds. And the thing that started transitioning my career, what I'm doing now, and I'm really grateful for that, was that when I was in doing the clinical work, it was very exciting because I get to hold a bald eagle. I get to do a surgery on a red-tailed hawk. I'm holding a peregrine falcon, right? All the eagle was just, just rushing.
Amazing.
And it was really good. But then it was that realization, very quietly, but extremely present, about 90% of the issues that we were fixing on these birds happened because of human activity. Birds got shot, they got poisoned, hit by cars, they hit windows, the trees got pruned, the babies fell down. So it really started planting that one of those other voices in my head.
Wow.
I have quite a lot, but one of those interesting ones about you got to work with people. You got to tell people, you got to. So then that really started making a shift in how I saw my role as a vet and started learning about how do we make decisions? How do we influence decisions? What is it about human behavior? And I started learning on psychology, sociology, psychiatry, neuroscience, very exciting. And when I started applying those principles, when I was teaching avian medicine, I always started the classes, and any Rossies out there, I would always start the class, okay, raise your hands, how many of you like birds? And it's like one hand here, one, right?
Maybe, you one or two.
Yeah. And the reality of that, it also, and I was able to see it as, I need to do something to get these guys excited. There's 150 or more in front of me. They have 50 minutes to hear me, and I have to show this information. So I'd used a lot of how our minds think and how we use emotions from a very deep learning perspective. And I got a lot of students over the years that said, I'm never going to work with birds, but I really love your classes. And I'm actually one student gave me a plush baby bird because she's, I'm not going to work with birds, but I really like them. So if it, and I cannot remember her name. It's hopefully she might be listening.
If you're listening, give us a shout out.
Yeah, so then that's actually I'm making the story way too long. Apologies.
This is great. No, this is the point of what we want to talk about: our experiences, our emotions, what makes us who we are as people. And this experience is incredible. I actually didn't know you put a really good perspective in wildlife. Most of the issues that vets are trying to fix are caused by people. And I'm still wrapping my head around that. Like, it totally makes sense. That's horrible.
It is. I remember many students that would come. That would come to my office to get a signature. I was coordinating a lot of courses back then at the university. And they would come. I just started making some conversations. How are you? And they would just open up. They would. It was almost like I said, please tell me all your life story in 10 minutes.
Us vet students can be quite emotional. But then again, as what we've learned in vet and just practicing medicine is clients, people are just very emotional. And we need a little bit more people to talk to.
Yeah,
we have a lot of emotions that are bottled in and we don't share very often.
A lot of the stories were so overwhelming of the realities that these students were facing, very deep emotional stuff. And back then, I didn't have much training. I knew a little bit. I was very much more intellectual, but I was just able to stay quiet and listen to them. And I started seeing how after they have unloaded, almost downloaded, all of these things and just having the sounding board that they can feel safe and free to do it. Then they were like, oh, thank you, Dr. Cruz. I feel so good. Thank you so much for this time.
You were just present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then as I started seeing that trend more often, then I started getting more excited about it. And is this concept then that you were saying, like with students who are very emotional. And if we extend that thought as people, and we say, with all the respect to everybody out there, and we say, we are emotional. We are emotional beings. For example, simplest way, if you take a coin, you know, it has two sides. We put thoughts on one side, that thought has an emotion on the other side. They cannot be separated. It's not that I can be extremely happy here, just showing a lot of emotions. Ooh, I'm in a podcast. And be thinking like, oh my God, this is so bad. Nobody's going to listen to this podcast. There needs to be this congruency between the thought that we generated and the feeling that the body is expressing. And we have no problems talking about thoughts. Yep. We can spend hours talking about what we were thinking. And emotions have such a bad rep. But when I start saying, I know you don't like birds, but hear me out for a minute, I'll bet you very likely that one day, all of a sudden, there's an emergency and there's a bird and you're the only one available.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the very simple steps that you can take to first calm down and remember your training and then you work on the bird.
I've said this before, and I say this all the time. The life lesson I've learned in my 30s, especially obviously graduating vet school, is people really just want to be heard. And they need to, all they really care about is having their feelings acknowledged. And what you say when you were lecturing students is you first have to acknowledge how they're feeling and saying, okay, I know you guys don't care about this very much. And then it allows you to settle their minds and create a connection with them emotionally. And then you can teach them, and then you can do your job. And that's something that I've learned, especially in emergency medicine. I feel like there's an art to ER where, and even GP and whatever, but where there's an emotional situation where these owners are coming in. They're obviously at the emergency. There's because they're concerned enough because they think that their pet is typically very ill and they don't know what's going on. And so within 5 minutes, you have to assess the pet's status. You have to introduce yourself to these emotional owners, establish credibility, collect potentially thousands of dollars, and also educate them about what's going on with their pet and give them a plan. So there is like a, and so it's very similar to the education standpoint from like I
Absolutely.
can imagine, because again, you're doing the same thing, right?
I've seen people that have this immediate connection with someone is that they're able to admire the person or the situation first before they get into logic and reason. What can I admire about the situation first? What can I admire about Dr. Tam right now before I start getting all professory and talk about all these things? It just creates this bond that
Yeah,
even, go ahead.
I it's and this kind of this feeds into kind of how we both felt about public speaking, right? Is obviously your body language, your gestures, the way you speak, the speed, all of these things establish a level of credibility. So either whether or not you're lecturing on a speech, you're a professor lecturing on a topic of avian medicine, or you're a veterinarian in the hospital, you first have to create this emotional connection with the people who are with the audience, before they can really put an ear to what you're saying and dedicate mental space to absorb the information the way you want it to be absorbed.
Definitely. And one thing, if you allow me like a 1 minute of coaching for you, if
Of
you don't
course.
mind. One thing that I don't think you're realizing is that when you created Ross Talk, that platform for people to develop a skill on public speaking, what you created was a platform for people to feel safe and explore something that is very uncomfortable for many people. Most of us, we'd rather die instead of speaking in front of people. That's usually the joke, but you created that, and that's really all on you.
Thanks. I had a little bit of a diabolical plan, right? Because everything's there. There's like a reason creating. How do I? And again, this is probably more information than when it's worth sharing on my podcast. But when I thought about creating a club, right? Obviously, you want it to be successful, and what people dictate as successful is having members, right? And you get, oh wow, if you have 1,000 members. So I wanted to make something obvious that would be on paper pretty successful, but also popular. So I found people, I'm someone who likes to talk and connect with people just naturally. And so whenever I would find people who they express a passion of theirs, that's the target I would have. Like, oh, you really like cooking? Do you want to talk about it? No, I don't. No. I'm like, honestly, that's amazing. And it's good public speaking practice. This is stuff that you really care about. And it's easy, right? Because if you told me to lecture on like wombat arthritis, there was no way that I would feel comfortable. But if I had to talk about something like board games, which I have on this podcast, or something that like I naturally can just word vomit just because I have such intimate, passionate experience and knowledge on, it's easy. So I was able to get people to be open to a topic of their choice, not an assigned topic. And then just say, hey, you have friends, right? Your friends love you. They're gonna show up to your meeting and they're gonna your talk. And so very quickly, that was able to drive interest in people to do it.
Yes, and build their confidence without them knowing.
Exactly. Yeah, it was cool. Yeah. I really want to dig deeper into this kind of concept. And you've mentioned this before, this idea of if you feel better, then you start to think better. And you've mentioned this to me before. I would say I'd love to have you back on the show. This would be something to, again, we can hopefully have you as a recurring somewhat member and see if we'll talk a little bit about this later. But your experience with this kind of field, I think with your mentorship with a lot of students and just people in the veterinary field, it'd be nice to talk a little bit more in depth on these kind of topics.
Definitely. Oh, I
Yeah.
would love to come back. Oh,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Okay. Wonderful. Why don't you tell everybody your scope, a little bit of advertisement of what you're doing?
Excellent. Yeah, I appreciate that little free marketing. Right now, I have a consulting company for mental health for veterinarians, the veterinary community. It's about mindset coaching, how to make peace with our thoughts, regardless what they are. How to understand them, getting you to believe that just because you have a thought, it's not the end of the world. It's more importantly in my philosophy that we explore the emotion that thought is generating because there's a pattern. And once we look at that pattern, that is not just because somebody's really stressed out or very anxious at the moment, it doesn't mean that the current conditions are the sole creators of that. It's really a thought pattern, emotional thought pattern that has been circling for many years. So when we go at the emotional side, and we relate to those emotions in extremely simple ways, then the thought process just comes along, which we'll explore more when you have me back, which I'm very excited for that. It's mindset training for the veterinary profession, either here in person on island or virtually, like what we're doing right now.
That's amazing, Dr. Cruz. I'm so happy to hear that. Again, we had such a good time there at Ross. And yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that. Let's see if we can get you back on the show. Otherwise, we'll keep the episode relatively concise today.
Perfect.
And everyone, thanks so much for the listeners who continue to subscribe and follow this. I've been looking on my podcast analytics, and actually people are still listening, which thank you so much. That's crazy.
Says a lot about you.
Yeah, thank you. We can talk about that, the psychology of this. Again, this is stuff that I'm very interested in. So again, Dr. Cruz, thanks so much for coming in today. And let's see if we can get you back.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Dan. Thank you, everybody. See you. Bye.